April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello! The Go Birds Podcast, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app has you covered. Elliot Shore Parks.
What up?
How you doing, pal? Draft's over. We got the aftermath.
Yes.
We're still basking in the glow. Howie's on WIP this morning.
Taking victory laps.
Super Howie, you know, like Mr. Happy Howie guy. Don't love that, but do love what the man did this weekend. How you feeling a couple days out?
I do really think
after the draft.
I do really think, like, if I was a general manager, it would just be so much easier just to take the players,
the players
that people want.
Because
if you think about it, the chances of these draft picks hitting are, like, at best case scenario, 50%. Like, at, like, first round, like, best case scenario. Then you're getting into, like, the third round. And the chances these guys hit are, like, you know, 15, 20%, whatever it is. Why not just take the players that people want? So everyone gets excited and everyone gets off your back. Like, when you think about the difference, you have to, like, really believe in somebody, I think.
I know, but you can't.
Man. I know you can't. I'm mostly kidding. But
I get it. Why not?
Like, look how good these last few days have been for Howie.
Why not? You take the players you think are going to be the best players. Because ultimately, while I agree with you in the moment, it's a salve.
Right.
If N'Kobe Dean stinks, no one's going to remember that we all wanted N'Kobe Dean. They're going to rip Howie for taking him.
Fair.
Like, that's the way this works. As dumb as that is, because... as we talked about, as we heard on our Saturday show, N'Kobe Dean, without a doubt, the most popular third-round pick in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
You know, forgetting what happened after, just in the moment. Like, no one can be upset if it doesn't work out. We all wanted him. All of us.
But people will be.
Exactly. And that's the point. And thus, I think that's why you just try and take the best player. Obviously,
yeah.
Which they do. You know, look, if Howie wanted to do what we wanted, he would have taken Justin Jefferson. I wouldn't be able to hold
the name
that, over
that
him.
Comes up on every pod.
Of course it does.
And it might for years.
How could it not?
And it might for years. Well, they have better, arguably, receivers now. I mean, you could debate, but
better than what? Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson's
still better than both those guys.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
They're not better than the both of them. But I do think AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, like, it's interesting.
Yeah, they're up there.
You see a lot of, like, we talked about this, but even just like on Twitter, they'll rank, you know, like, which group of receivers would you want? And, like, the Eagles are on there now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
like,
a big
I was
difference.
Thinking about it. I was actually laying in bed the other night thinking about going through each team, trying to figure it out. You know, in the NFC.
Who'd you come up with?
So I really focused on the NFC because then the AFC started to get really it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, and also, who cares, honestly?
Who cares?
Right.
So in the NFC, the ones that first came to mind, like Godwin and Evans, I think you'd put in that discussion.
Yes, Godwin's coming.
I still think A.J. Brown might be better than both those guys.
Well, and Godwin's coming off an injury.
Right.
Which I think you have to consider.
I think Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson would be very high on that list.
I think they're better.
I agree. Cooper Kupp's the best receiver in football, probably. I mean, right?
Yeah,
him or Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I mean,
although
after the season
I will
he just
say,
had.
I will say, if I had to pick a receiver, he would not be my choice, but I agree that he probably is the best
receiver. It's a silly way to put it.
I mean, like, yeah. I just would take Devontae or DK or, like, Justin Jefferson.
I
agree. Cooper Kupp's awesome. He just wouldn't be my choice.
Yeah, that's what happens with Cooper Kupp, and yet he's just the best.
Yeah, what, he had, like, 24, 25 touchdowns last year, including
like
the playoffs.
1,900 yards receiver.
Yeah, he's very good.
Very good. There are a couple other. I mean, Jefferson and Thielen, whatever you think of Thielen at this point, but
right.
they would be in the discussion. And I feel like
Cowboys.
I would take AJ Brown and Devontae over those.
Yeah, you're right. Because CeeDee and they lost
coming off
Amari.
The injury.
Yep, coming off an injury.
So yeah,
and then if you add tight end too, I mean, like the Buccaneers have, you know, good tight end.
I guess DK and Tyler Lockett would. So, but you're not scared of Seattle as a team, but they would be in
right,
the discussion.
They'd be in the discussion. But if you add Goddard in there, which I think you should, like the tight end is essentially a receiving position these days. I mean, Goddard, you know, he's certainly on the short list of best tight ends in the NFL, let alone the division or the conference. So, yeah, I mean, like we've talked about this on the last two pods, but it's true. I mean, they're just a way better team now.
So
like,
excited.
There's really no other way to put
it. It's unbelievable.
Like, and after all offseason, we've recorded a lot of pods talking about him, and I've been down on him. Like,
you've been very down. We had flipped spots.
Yeah.
Last offseason, it was all about you being like, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. And me being like, you're crazy. It's flipped around.
Everything's falling into
place. All positive. I'm a Mr. Howie Roseman over here.
Everything's falling into place. Like, you look at the rest of the roster, and like, it just shows how much one player changes everything. Like, A.J. Brown makes the offense that much better. Like, if Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean hit, I know you can do that with any draft picks. You go to any team and say if their first and third round pick hit, of course they're better, and they are. But, like, there's just a higher ceiling with those guys, and there are other third round picks. And to a certain degree, they're first round picks. I have some Jordan Davis thoughts we can get into. I watched, went and did some tape, some
Look
YouTube
at you.
Tape.
You, taping it up.
Exactly.
Film.
Film breakdowns, exactly. So, yeah, I just, a few days out from the draft, like, they're just way better. That's really the best way to put it. They're just a way better team than they were before the draft started.
And look, there's just more excitement. And, you know, not that that matters. Ultimately, they need to go out and win football games, and that's the only way we're going to be truly excited about this team. But, you know, for an off-season leading into potentially a season, it felt like it really was lacking juice, lacking excitement, lacking, to your point, it really felt like they were just kind of running it back for the most part.
Well, they were being complacent, which was so weird to me. But what's interesting now is if you look at it, if they trade for A.J. Brown the first day of free agency and they sign Hassan Reddick, like,
yeah, we're ecstatic.
In what ways is this team not all in? Like, other than the fact that they traded their first-round pick to next year.
Well, that's one of the ways.
But that's one of the ways, right. But I'm saying outside of that, they were extremely aggressive in adding talent. They had, they didn't get everybody.
They're clearly straddling. They're clearly trying to quote-unquote, be all in on this season while also thinking about the future and planning for the future.
But I think...
Which is a smart way to do it if you can thread that needle.
Man, let me tell you.
Did you sleep last night? It's your fifth yawn already. So, am I that boring?
No.
It hurt my feelings a little bit.
No, so here's what's happening. I'm trying not to yawn because obviously I'm recording a pod, but because I am not yawning, it won't go away.
Just yawn. Just get out of the way.
Well, now I can't, like, on demand.
The pressure is on, there's no yawn coming.
But, no, but I'm saying, like, you're right. The first round pick is definitely a punt to next year to a certain extent. But that's, like, you know, what? 10% of the offseason, if you really want to, like, you know, put a lot of emphasis
again,
on
it. You forget specific moves, right? It's more organizationally, philosophically. I think that they are not fully all in. I think they're as all in as they can be given the restrictions
that's my
point.
They
have.
They are all in as they can
be. But that's what the Eagles try and do every year. That's what they always say. They always say we're always in. And I think they are in, but I think they're also thinking about the future, which is what I want them to do.
Yeah.
I got no complaints right now.
I'm not.
I think they're set up really well right now.
What I'm saying, though, is I think they are more in than I previously did. Because, like, if you look at it, you're right. They are looking at the future. I'm not saying they're being reckless. I'm not saying any of that. But, like, they signed two really big free agent money. Like, Hassan Reddick, you can debate, I guess, if it's really big money. But it was a day one free agency signing to arguably the top player at the position on the market. So, like, it's a significant signing. A.J. Brown got a really big deal, right? Like, up to $100 million, over $50 million guaranteed. Like, that's a really big contract. They have almost, you know, they have, like, cap space, but they certainly aren't, like, sitting on cap space. Like, they have, I think, you know, $11 or $12 million. That's not a lot of cap space. So they went out. They traded up in the first round. They took N'Kobe Dean in the third round. N'Kobe Dean, in my opinion, is much more of a win-now player, like, you know, than some, like, prospect that you're taking, like a Davion Taylor to,
yeah,
like, develop.
Yeah, but I think they just took the best player there.
Well, but what I'm saying is...
because you can make the exact argument the opposite way about the Cam Jurgens pick.
Yes,
and I know
right.
he might play guard this year or whatever, but that is point. That is a pick for the future more than for the now.
Yes, but I still think at the majority, if we were to sit down and write down like the 10 biggest moves they made this offseason, I think like 7 or 8 of them would be moves made to win in 20. Now, you can make the argument A.J. Brown is a win now and later move just because of his age.
Yeah.
But they
are. So sound right. They both are.
They are clearly trying to win more this year than I initially thought, is the point I'm making. Like, their roster is considerably better than it was when they left the field in Tampa. They have better players on defense. They have a way better number one receiver. So, like, they've improved a lot. Like, they should be better next year. Now, clearly this comes with the caveats always of, like, Jalen has to improve, the coach, like, all those things. But they are not a team that's, like, they were active in free agency. They did make a major trade. They traded up in the draft. Like, so they are doing things that we would commonly associate with a win-now team. I agree with you. They're also looking at the future.
Yeah, again, I think that it's not one or the other. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a win. Their win now. I think that they are doing what they can to make this roster the best they can, while also saying, "Hey, this might not be the quarterback. We're planning for the future as well." If they're all in for this year, they trade that extra pick for a player rather than for a
There have been moves. But
you
I'm
know
saying,
what I mean?
Like, if you had to pick one or the other, which would you pick? Just for fun.
I think you're making something into an either or that is not an either or. You know what I mean? I think that they're doing the best that they can with the salary cap and the pieces they have to maneuver for right now. Like, if you ask me, do I think the Eagles think they will be better this year or next year? I think they think they'll be better next year. Or at least I think that they are building something that can be good
for multiple
years.
When you say next year, you mean 2020?
My point is more that I think they're building this with an eye on the next 5 years as a whole, rather than just this year. This year is part of those 5 years, but I think they're looking at trying to build up the roster for the future. They're trying to get younger. The offense is young all of a sudden. Like all the stuff we've talked about. I think that they're in the process of taking that old Super Bowl roster that, you know, they went for it the extra 2 years, made the playoffs, made the run the 1 year, the whole thing. But clearly, as Howie has talked about many times, like, they committed to guys longer. They went for it. They took that window and went for it. I think they're trying to start another window. And I think they're trying to flip that over. And I think they're doing a pretty good job.
Well, the window's definitely open right now. Like, they should be in my opinion, they should be expected to win a playoff game next year. Like, I think that is what the goal should be. If they do not win and of course,
again,
it can happen a lot
again,
of different
you're making
ways.
Very grandiose statements.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, not yet. It's May 3rd. We got a little time to get there. The roster's not even done being built yet.
I don't look at the date when I record.
We're not even done being built yet. But we still don't have a second corner or a safety. That's going to happen.
So I'm saying, so they can only improve in a way.
You would hope so.
Yeah,
or they could not fill those spots.
But I'm saying,
and you're like, oh, well, what do we do now?
When you look at the acquisition of A.J. Brown, Kobe Dean, like all the, like, you know, if you want to go back, like Hassan Reddick, like they could in theory lose a playoff game where we walk away and say, that was encouraging.
Sure,
right? Like, they
of course.
Definitely could. But I think that if you just want to say, like, what should be expected of them next year, I think it should be to win a playoff game. It should be to take a step further than they did last year. And last year they made the playoffs. Like, if they win the division and they lose a playoff game by 3 points where everyone plays well,
yeah,
like,
I just
course,
think there's
a
lot
difference.
Of qualifiers. You know what I mean? Like, you
right.
could say that. They could lose the Josh Allen game. Could be them this year. I mean, probably not that specific way, but they could go to overtime and lose a playoff game. We feel great about them. You know, like, so I'm not there. But I do think that they should be, I think a better way to say it, a more fair way to say it, is they should be expected to be better this year than last year, without a doubt.
Yeah, and because they've gone out and they've added the talent.
And it hurts in another year in this offense. It's Sirianni and the coaching staff in year two after year one. Like, they know the roster now. We shouldn't have the first 7 weeks be not running the ball, like all that type of stuff. Yes, they should. This team should absolutely be better this year than last year, no question.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying in the way, like, they are more in than I thought personally initially. Like, I remember my biggest complaint about them was they were being something I thought I'd never seen from them. That's, like, complacent. Like, they seemed, like, okay with, like, we'll set our target at, like, 70% of what a player wants, and if he'll take that, then he'll sign. But if not, we're not going to pay somebody crazy money. Like, so the A.J. Brown thing to me was, like, a different mentality and strategy in terms of going out and saying, I mean, A.J. Brown wasn't cheap. A third, and a max
deal. I think it was the right player. I think it's situational. It's not like they chose to not sign guys or whatever. I think they were being smart. They were saying, hey, we're not going to sign this guy for more than this amount. This is what we value this guy at. Here's the con. You want it? No? Cool. And I think in the past, they might have been more willing to say, all right, screw it. We got to get the guy for right now. We got to win right now. Like, I actually think this, like, the way they've handled this offseason is a sign that they're not doing it the wrong way. that they're trying to build the team the right way. And I do think that, you know, I've said that a million times. Like, I think that matters. And I think that that's what they're doing now.
No, and so I think now that we're through the draft, I agree. I think they've had a strong offseason in a lot of ways. I 100% agree with you. But from where I was 3 weeks ago, like, my expectations personally have changed. Like,
of course. Yeah, well, they went out and got a number one receiver.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, 3 weeks ago, I would have said, look, like, I think there's a decent chance this team doesn't make the playoffs. I think we've talked about how I think the Giants are going to be better than people think. Like, now I look and I say, like, the pieces fit. Like, the puzzle of whatever the Eagles offseason was, and I don't think it included getting A.J. Brown. I think that came and they pounced on it and it happened. But now that we're through all the important parts of the offseason, free agency, the, you know, the first, second, third wave of free agency, the draft, like, all those things, the puzzle pieces to me fit. Like, what they've done this offseason came together. I'm surprised. Like, it's almost like they found a missing piece under the carpet in the last second for the puzzle, and it, like, made it all come together. But where they're at now is very different than where I thought they would be a few weeks ago when we were talking about this team.
You should have trusted Howie like I did.
I've been saying for,
I was like,
you know,
great move, Howie. Howie's making great moves.
Yeah, you're the Howie guy now.
I just trusted the guy. I knew he was going to make good moves, and he did. You should have listened to yourself last offseason.
Well, I can only react to what I'm seeing, and I was not a fan of what was happening. Yeah, but now it's all come together.
Giving him a chance.
And that's why I do look, and I say, like,
Jalen on your guy.
If Jalen can be, you know, he was arguably what? I don't know.
15, 18, 20,
like last year, however you want to do it. If he can be top 12 next year, they can be a playoff team. Like, the defense is the defense could potentially be very good. Like,
I'm not there yet.
Well, so the depth.
Could, like, look, if Davis contributes immediately, if Dean contributes immediately, if they fix.
Yeah,
if
lots
they do
of
get,
ifs,
we'll
for
talk
sure.
about if they get James Bradbury or whatever. Like, yeah, but right now, I'm not there yet.
So
I think the defense could be better.
The depth that they have on the offense and defensive line is pretty insane.
Especially offense, because the defensive line, like, you could say they have depth, but we don't like Derek Barnett. We don't like none of
True.
Those guys are super special. The offensive line, what makes that great is they have super special guys like Kelsey, Lane, Mailata, guys who are like the best in the league potentially. But then every single guy they cycle through there can play, and it's a credit to Stoutland. Well, but like,
and Howie.
Yeah, but I think more to Stoutland. I really do. Like, and I'm giving Howie credit over here, but I think the offensive line in particular, I think is a massive credit to Stoutland. They take guys in late rounds. He gets everyone ready to play. Gets them ready to play together. Brett Toth is out there last year looking passable as a tackle, like all that type of stuff. I think the depth on the O-line is, because the depth on the D-line, they have guys, but are we really excited outside of the interior? On the outside, are we excited about those guys? No. Like Josh Sweat, like, sure. But, like, no one's really super excited.
They don't
excited.
Have the top-end talent. But
Whereas the offensive line has top-end talent, and I think the backups are even better. Like, you just feel good with anyone playing on that line.
Well, that's where – so I went through yesterday, and I put together a backup offensive line and a backup defensive line. And this is probably a bit of a stretch because, to be honest, like, I don't know the backup situations for every offensive defensive line. Hand up. But I think, like, the backup offensive line, they can start. And I'm talking, like, with no starters. Like, no Lane, Mailata, like, just backups. Is arguably, like, better than what the Giants put out there at offensive line.
I think
line
it might
this year.
Be. It
and,
be.
And defensive line, you're right that I'm a little higher on Barnett than you are, but neither of us are Barnett guys, and you don't know what Brandon Graham's going to be. But
I'm expecting, and I love BG. You know he's my favorite Eagle of all time. I'm not expecting any. Like, if he gives you anything great, but he's a 33-year-old coming off a torn Achilles, like, I don't think you can have any fair expectations to expect anything
but
real.
But if he's, like, let's say 50% of what he was before the injury, he's still an average NFL starter. Like, he was an above, like, very good NFL starter. So
I agree. I just, again, I'm not.
No, I think it's a fair.
Yeah, I don't even know if he can play. Like,
yeah,
I don't, you know what I mean?
It's a completely fair assumption to have. But if you look at their backups, it's Derek Barnett. If you want to say it would be Jordan Davis, Derek Barnett, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, Brandon Graham. Like, it's a defensive line where if those are your starters, you're saying, like,
not great.
But if those are your backups, like, that's pretty crazy.
Well, I think the point more is that the depth of the D line is very good. They just don't have the high end stuff.
Agreed. Like, the starters are not as high end as the starting offensive line.
Not even close. I mean, Javon Hargrave's the only starter we feel great about. And I guess Reddick, if you count him as a starter or whatever, you feel good. We'll see how they use him all that. But, like, not, and even then, Hargrave you feel good about, but you don't feel as good about him as you do as Kelsey as center, Lane Johnson as a tackle.
Agreed.
Whatever.
Mailata.
Absolutely.
Even Landon Dickerson.
Even
honestly.
Landon Dickerson. So I get your point. I do think they have depth at the D line spot. It's just not special like the offensive line.
Yeah, for sure. I think the strong.
Like, I think they have the top to bottom. When you conclude everything, they have the best offensive line group in football.
I agree. I don't want to say it's not close, but it's probably not close. Like,
I mean, when you include the backups, it's probably not close.
Yeah,
like, I don't know for sure, but it probably is not close.
I just think what's going to make them good this year, and it's what I thought last year, but I think even more about it this year, is they're going to get very good. Well, they're going to get elite offensive line play, like for sure. They will get elite offensive line play. And I do think the pass rush is better. Like, they were already good against the run last year. They were 7th, I think, in yards per carry allowed, 9th in maybe total yards. So, like, they were a top 10 run defense, which is good enough. Their pass rush obviously has to be better, for sure. They were 31st, I think, in sacks last year. You would think Hassan Reddick helps that. Like, we'll see N'Kobe Dean and Kaiser White. I think they're both more capable of getting sacks than the other linebackers they had. But I, like, when you look at football, and we this maybe could lead us into the safety and cornerback question. But when I rank, like, okay, how good do I think a team is going to be? Actually, I tweeted this. Let me pull it up. Like, I think the positions you look for when, like, saying, will this team be good? It's like quarterback, offensive line, head coach, defensive line, skill position players, ability to run the ball. Like, those to me are the important things.
I agree. I would put corner at the back end of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think corner's, like, you know, 5-6, something like that. Yeah. But I think the quarterback question is obviously there. But if you look at, like, the 5 or 6 things we just agreed in general, the Eagles are really good at a lot of them. Like, yeah. I think we feel really
second
good.
Second corner is really the only question.
Yeah, and I think—
And the pressure.
Yeah, the pressure. So, like, I think if you go through that list, Jalen, you're
confident. Yeah, obviously Jalen.
Well, but you're confident. I think you're going to get competent play out of him, right? I don't think a lot of teams can say that. With a high upside, I think we both feel good about Sirianni. Mm-hmm. We both feel good about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. We both feel better about the defensive line. They obviously can run the ball. Like, that's clear. And I think the cornerback and then the skill position players, as we've talked about, are some of the best in the NFL. So, yes, they have concerns at safety and corner. But, like, honestly, if you're going to have concerns anywhere, like, I think those are kind of where you want them, especially where with corner, yes, they need a number 2 corner, but they have an elite number 1 and a very good nickel. So, like, it's a 3-man group, the corners. Like, it's 3 starters, essentially. And you feel really good, I think, about 2 of them. So, they need safeties. They need a number 2 corner. But overall, like, the roster is in really good shape. Like, if everybody plays up to their potential and they stay healthy, I think it was Colin Cowherd maybe had them as the 5th best team in the NFC. Like, they have the ability.
I think they're right in there.
Yeah.
That's where I would have them, right around there. Now, but the depth becomes an issue, especially in the secondary when you talk about that. Like, to your point, they have one good player in the secondary. Like, to phrase it that way, you talk about the corners.
Well, I think Avante Maddox.
So, yes, okay, they have two good players.
One special player.
2 out of the 5 who are going to start for them in the secondary are good.
Yes.
One is special. One is good. The other 3 are not good. To potentially non-existent.
To, like, practice squad players.
Yeah. So, and then if Darius Slay goes down, you know? So that's these guys do. Every year we lose guys. Every year we're a month into the season saying, oh, look at the injuries. It's going to happen. And they were better last year, and you hope that continues. The Sirianni, the new medical staff, the luck goes in their way. But I do think that when we get into those discussions, that's where I could worry. Is it, like, if Slay goes down, like, they're screwed. Like, that is something that could submarine your
season. For
sure.
I do think the front 7 is better. Like, their linebackers could be considerably better than
they were
last year. Like, Kaiser White.
The best group we've had since Bradham and Hicks, or whatever you want to say.
So, Kaiser White, I definitely think it's fair to have skepticism about the signing because Howie's been so bad at bringing
small,
in linebackers.
Like, there are things you can point to, you know, small for a linebacker, all that type of stuff.
But I think his ceiling is way higher than, like, TJ Edwards, Davion Taylor. Like, the guys that they trotted out there last year, I think Kaiser White is better than them. He's had better careers.
Probably better. I mean, Davion Taylor might have a higher ceiling. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge Davion Taylor guy, but obviously did show some improvement last year and athletically has a lot of talent.
But I think if, like, you were to put all the linebackers on the roster last year and then N'Kobe Dean and Kaiser White in that group, every single general manager would pick Kaiser White and N'Kobe Dean before they picked any of the other linebackers.
I don't know, but probably. I mean, I don't know. The Davion Taylor skill, like, building.
I don't know, man. I mean, I know you're not a big Davion guy.
I'm not at all,
but
honestly.
I get your point of, like, he's a great athlete,
knows. Because Kaiser White, like, I don't know that
Kaiser
White's
been pretty good for the Chargers.
Yeah, he made a lot of tackles downfield. Like, it's not like he was, like, busting up plays and stuff like that.
I agree with that. But I think that he's better than what they had last year.
I think he's, like, in terms of, like, I don't know that he's that much better than T.J. Edwards. Like, he probably is, but I don't know that he's that much better than T.J. Edwards.
I think he's a better athlete.
Like, sure.
T.J. Edwards is kind of like, I think N'Kobe Dean is like T.J. Edwards on steroids in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think N'Kobe is a better athlete, and he has great instincts. I think what hurts T.J. is T.J. has great instincts. He's just not as quick out there, so I think it impacts him. But I think their front 7's better which will help the back four as well, or five, however you want to phrase it. So they have questions there, but because the front seven's better and if they get better pressure, it should help the secondary.
All right, quickly with the secondary, and then I want to get to some other stuff, the Jordan Davis stuff, the thoughts on day three of the draft, because we haven't talked about that at all. But quickly, on the cornerback safety thing, like, what do you think happens? Do you think they address these positions? James Bradbury's the big name now, talking about potentially getting cut from the Giants. What do you think's going to happen here?
So I think the Bradbury thing is real. I think there's a chance they could get him. It does seem like the Giants are going to cut him. And once he's cut, obviously he's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. I think the Eagles would definitely have interest in him. And I think they could structure the deal where it would be team-friendly. Howie's always good at that. Like, I think it's going to cost, if I had to guess, around $10 or $11 million guaranteed. And if you do that and you give him a five-year deal where, like, he gets all of it up front and, you know, you're talking about a $2 million cap hit or whatever. And I think he would be a massive addition. Like, Darius Slay is better, but James Bradbury is good enough to be a number one corner on, you know, a decent amount of teams. Like, he's a low-end one.
He's a very good corner.
Extremely high, too, right? So he would be probably the best number two, or at least in the short discussion of number two corners in the league. So I think they definitely have interest in him. I think he would have interest in coming here. And I think it could happen if he gets cut. It's just a matter of whether or not a team decides to blow the doors off of Bradbury with money. But there's definitely interest. Like, it could definitely happen. And if it does, then the defense is obviously, it's huge. Because then you're only really having questions about safety.
And then if you play Marcus, it's not as big a deal at that safety position.
Yeah.
If you could get by with a Marcus Epps or whatever, because you've got so much talent in the rest of the secondary, theoretically, at the corners.
So safety, and this is just speculation. I think I saw someone speculate on Twitter, and I think it makes sense. But Chuck Clark from the Ravens, he started some games. He's from Philly. I think he's about 26, 27. He would be like a low end. Like, he's someone I think you could probably trade Reger for, you know, and make that type of a trade. But he's better than, you know, a lot
Marcus
of what they
Epps.
Have. I mean, well, so I'm not big on Marcus Epps, but I was surprised when I look back. He played like, you know,
it felt like he made
600
more plays than Anthony Harris
last
year. I'll tell you that much.
And then I guess, like, are we definitely out on Kayvon Wallace?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, why wouldn't we be? What have we seen from the guy? Like, make a play. He made one play, one tackle. He left the game.
Right.
It's the only thing I ever remember him doing. I liked him at Clemson.
Like, I know, it's a shame.
I was down with that pick.
I kind of
like
felt the same about
pick.
Him as I do Nakobe.
That was the one pick that draft. Well, Nakobe was a way better
He was,
player.
But I'm saying in terms of, like, a guy where I'm like, this guy was a great player and a great program, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And had the same type of personality.
I mean, who knows? You never know. Like, it happens. But I totally dismissed Kayvon Wallace as a potential starter player for this team.
But if you add Bradbury, then it's really just the safety spots that you're not feeling good about.
And again, I do think, I said this last pod, I do think, look, June 1st cuts. Guys are going to, the Bradbury thing, there'll be other guys like that. We know how he can wheel and deal. We just talked about
training
the
camp.
Depth that they have at the offensive line. I'm sure there's a potential lineman for safety trade out there. That type of thing. I don't think
I have a Nate Herbig tape, too.
Okay, I want to get to that. I don't think Howie is done adding to the secondary. All right, I want to get your Nate Herbig tape and then the Jordan Davis thing. But download the BetParks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's just the best. We've been having so much fun. Basketball playoffs have been just an absolute blast to use the app for.
Not so much game one.
No, not great for you.
I'm not as out
as you are.
Did you
bet on Philly? Oh, yeah, they're cooked.
Of course.
Five games, maybe, if you...
Oh, just...
They're done.
I'll save my takes for the Thursday pod.
Okay. Yeah,
when they're down
2-0. If your take is not they're done, then it's probably not a great take. But
well,
you look so depressed right now. You really look bummed about this. The Eagles are good. Who cares?
They're so much better than Miami. It's just such
but
a shame.
Not.
Like,
I mean, they're
like,
clearly
if,
not.
If Philly had their best player, they would win the series in five.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that, I think, is the upsetting thing, is that, like, it's once again, they don't have the best player, and it is what it is. But, like, Miami's not special. Like, Miami, I think I said this to you and you agreed. They're last year's Philly in terms of being number one.
But they're still better than the Sixers. That's the problem.
But not
Sixers
if they
are four seed.
Not if they have Embiid, though.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, obviously they have a much better chance with Embiid. Without Embiid, they're just way worse. I do think you underrate Miami. Miami's a bunch of dudes.
That's the team I hate, though. Like, that's like just me personally.
I know,
personally.
But that's you personally. That doesn't mean that they're a bad basketball team. Either way,
I think they're a better version of the Raptors, which is what I'd say.
Well, you can bet on all of it with the BetParks Casino and Sportsbook app. You can bet on baseball. Live in-game betting is a blast. There's futures if you like how a team just did this weekend. I don't know, maybe Philly, you know? Maybe worth a shot on those futures odds for our guys.
I should actually look and see how the odds change.
Yeah. So you can check all that out again. It's the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's the only sportsbook and casino app that we here at Go Birds recommend. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app. And here's the deal. If you sign up now, new customers make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the app now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com. Use our promo code GOBIRDS. That is GOBIRDS. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Nate Herbig take.
So I remember when I first started covering the team. Remember Alan Barber?
Of course I remember Alan Barber.
So I guess it wasn't super first, but it was like, Alan, you know, Barber, not 4 or 5 years.
Not a loquacious fellow.
What does loquacious mean?
Means verbose. Or
no, yes.
Yeah.
Very quiet.
When I worked for the team, Bo Wolf, funny enough, was working for the Eagles then too, and we used to do like interviews of players.
Yep.
And Bo Wolf asked Alan Barber 27 questions in 3 minutes. That's how much Alan Barber
did. Yeah, one or two word answers the whole time.
We joked about it going in, Bo was like, I need questions. This guy doesn't talk much. And we came up with, he ran out of 27 questions in 3 minutes. It was the most, it's like, yep. Nope. It was the most. Yeah. And this for the team. Like he's not like a media guy trying to like screw you.
He's probably asking
you
very nice questions.
It's the PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Anyway,
so
Alan
I remember
Barber.
When they traded Alan Barber
to the
Broncos.
Packers. Wasn't it the Packers?
I think they traded him to the Broncos.
Really?
I would almost bet you on this.
You probably know better than I do.
So okay. I remember I made a huge deal about it. I was like, "This is such a dumb decision. You need Alan Barber. Depth is so important on the offensive line. Blah blah blah." And then I'm not hurting them at all. So I am ready to
the Broncos.
So I am ready to admit I could be overreacting to this, but I really, really don't like the decision.
Wow!
Like we just talked about how special their depth is on the offensive line. Like losing Herbig hurts that. They still have really good depth and all that stuff. But Herbig is, in my opinion, a very solid backup at two spots. He does struggle to snap the ball at center, which is an issue.
He stinks at center.
Well, he stinks at snapping
stinks
the ball.
At center. He had a disastrous game at center.
He did. He had the one disastrous game.
Like he lost the game for him potentially.
Yeah, the Giants game you're talking about with
the
penalty.
Yeah,
he was
tremendous.
He was bad. I agree. But like, he is a young guy that's been on the team for a while that you can play at multiple spots. And to release him just feels silly to me.
Well, they clearly tried to trade him and it didn't work out. I don't think there's any chance.
For sure, I agree with that.
And look, I get it. Would I rather have Nate Herbig in a perfect world on a team? Rather not. Sure. Like the guy's
especially
fine.
Now because you have 90 roster spots.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty clear that they already have. I think the Cam Jurgens pick knocked him out. Like they already have enough linemen. I mean, you got to get rid. I probably would have gotten rid of Sua Obeta over him. I would have probably kept. But I think they probably think that Sua Obeta is a better center. Than he is.
And I think and Sua might be as good of a guard, too.
He might be.
So
I just think it's and like, I get it. I would rather, but like $2.4 million, you know, they need every dollar they can get right now. And I just think they were like, all right, well, we can't have a full team made of backup offensive linemen. Like, we just don't have enough spots for all these guys.
And this could just be like nitpicking about the phrasing, but the report was like, they did him a favor, essentially.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't, you know, a business. Like, hold on to Herbig into training camp. What if, like, Sua goes down? What if Landon goes down?
Or what if a guy on another team gets hurt and
you
trade him then?
Exactly. Like, I think I would have held on to him. And I acknowledge that we're talking about, you know, like, the third or fourth best guard on the roster. So it is what it is. But, like, I have seen too many times with this team how important offensive line depth is. And I think Herbig is a good backup offensive lineman. So just to release him to me seems so silly.
I get it.
Now you're yawning.
Yeah.
Telling you, man, once I have this yawn, like, it's just so hard to get out.
I didn't actually yawn, though.
You were close.
I held it in, though.
Yes. Well, that's what I think
I didn't. People wouldn't have known unless you said something, though. See, I'm a pro.
Well, I'm trying. Yeah, no. I'm trying to, like, trying to make myself feel not as bad.
Yes.
Because I've literally tried to get this yawn out, like, 10 times.
I don't hate on that. Like, it's fine. I would take Herbig over not taking him. I just understand the reality of the situation, the fact that they can't keep all the back of the line they have. And also that, look, I agree. I probably would have waited it out, all that. But, like, this is all, like, they do this stuff all the time where it's like he's helping an agent out. Hopefully the agent will get you back, like, all that. I get it. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm not really going to care too much about
it. That's where I think ultimately everyone should fall on it, right? But when I saw it, my initial gut reaction was like, I don't really like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to share that.
All right, Jordan Davis.
Okay. So I went back and I watched Georgia's game against all the defensive snaps, Georgia's game against Michigan in the semifinal, and then Alabama in the college football final. And I picked those two games because I've heard a lot about, like, Jordan Davis didn't play a lot of snaps because they were up in so many games, and I think that's true. Jordan Davis didn't play on third down a lot because they were playing in fierce competition. They had good edge rushers. Like, I think that's probably true to that. But I think in those two games against Michigan and Alabama, like, that's where Georgia had to be at their best. That's where they were playing the best competition, the most important games, and I think it's the best snapshot of what they really feel about their talent. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's all situational and scheme, and there's a lot of different factors, but sure.
But in general.
I mean, yeah, but again, it's game flow and dictate.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
And I also think, you know, with the Georgia team, like, their bench is so deep with talent. You know, like, the guys who are, like, rotation guys are going to be, like, first-round picks next year and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I do think it's a unique situation that, in terms of playing time, what they do on the field when they're on it, sure. But in terms of playing time, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in this. He didn't play enough or did or whatever, because I think like when you have like eight guys who are all like first round NFL picks on your team, like you got to get those guys, especially now with the transfer portal, guys can leave, all that stuff. Like, you want guys to be happy. You want guys to be playing. So no, not like to boil it down. No, I don't in terms of playing time,
right.
In terms of on the field production. Sure.
So I agree with a lot of what you said. I do think the transfer portal thing matters now. The NIL thing matters now too, right? Like, there are a lot of dynamics at play here. But in the championship game against Alabama, a game that was close up until, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes ago in the fourth. And
they pulled away before then, didn't they?
I think that they didn't take like a big lead until like 3 or 4 minutes ago. It was really close. They had a touchdown to take the lead, and then they had a pick six, which put them up, I think, 33-18.
Yeah.
So I think it was 24-18 when they threw the interception. So that's relatively close.
Yeah, I
remember watching it and thinking it was close the whole game until it really fell apart in the final four.
Yeah, I remember like it feeling like pretty done.
You should look it up. I think Alabama was winning in the fourth.
Okay.
But while you look it up, I'll say, all right, so against Alabama, going against the biggest game and the best competition, Jordan Davis played, and I have it written down in my phone, but I think it was something like 5 out of 22 third downs or something like that. 4 or 5 out of 22 third downs. He wasn't on the field. There were 3 times when it was 3rd and goal from the 6 or closer. He wasn't on the field for any of those downs. And you're right. Like, they have a deep pass rushing group. Nolan Smith, I think it's Jalen Carter is going to be first-round pick next
like
year.
They're both, like, top 10 picks.
Yeah, exactly. They're both, exactly. Javon Walker was a top 10 pick. They had Devontae Wyatt in there, first-round pick this year. So, like, there is talent for sure. But here's my biggest takeaway watching Jordan Davis for how many snaps it was, maybe 60 or 70 snaps against like elite level competition or the best teams they played. He is definitely like good against the run, and he was out there on a lot of first and second downs. But Howie Roseman even said this, actually. Howie Roseman was on with Angelo Cataldi on Tuesday morning, and he said that when they were scouting Jordan Davis, he said to his scouts, convince me he's not just a first and second down player. And obviously his scouts convinced him of that because they drafted him. But by saying that, what he is basically saying is this guy is not going to be worth it if he's not on the field on third downs. That's like essentially the question, right? If you're saying, tell me why he's not just a first and second down player, you're saying he has to be on the field on third downs. And he could be. He could definitely come to the Eagles, and his rookie year, he's not going to be a finished product. So I don't think he has to be it right away. But there are going to be moments in both this year and definitely like in the future, because I think the roster is just getting better, where they're going to be playing big games and there's going to be big times. Like, there's going to be a 3rd and 7 against a really good quarterback or whatever, where the Eagles need a stop. Like, late in the game, big game. Late in the game, big game, big down, big situation. Jordan Davis has got to be on the field in those situations. He just has to be. You don't draft someone in the top 15 who's going to be a run stopper on first and second down. And I know he can help the other pass rushers. And I know first and second down are important because it, you know,
more important. I mean, if we're being
third
real.
Down's the most important down,
right?
In
but
football.
In reality, like the point is if you stop them on first and second down, then they have a much longer
correct.
Chance.
Yes.
Of, you know, if it's 3rd and long, it's much less likely you're going to get a first down than if it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, 3rd and whatever. You
right.
know,
yeah, for
so
sure.
So I mean, in reality, what you do on first and second down influences third down a lot more than stopping. You have to stop them on 3rd and 2. But first and second, you could argue that
right.
first and second down are most important because that's how you set up 3rd and long.
It's
whatever.
Like Gannon. I think Gannon used to say the best 3rd down defense is good first and
yeah,
second down defense.
That's exactly
and
right.
Yes, but ultimately there are going to be big 3rd downs.
Sure.
There are going to be situations where you've got to get off the field, And in those situations, like, you have to have players out there that you've invested your top resources in. Like, Hassan Reddick has to be rushing the passer on third down, right? You would agree with that.
Yes and no. Hassan Reddick does because of who he is, but I don't...
But Jordan Davis should be that.
Like, I don't... Again, I think Jordan Davis can be worth the 13th pick without ever being a premium pass rusher.
Wow, see, so yeah, that's where
yeah,
I disagree.
I think he absolutely can. I mean, Vince Wilfork was never a premium pass rusher. Vince Wilfork was absolutely worth... He was the 12th pick in the draft. He was worth it. He was a home run pick in that spot. Like, I just think, especially if they're running more 3-4, like... He doesn't have to get to the quarterback to be an incredibly valuable player. And I think that's what you're seeing when you know, and I've done a deep dive, obviously, on it. You know, we all have, I think, since the draft. But, like, when you read about scheme and you read about how he fits and what they plan to do with him or theoretically plan to do with him and stuff, like, he doesn't have to be a great pass rusher to have an incredible value for this defense. Now, I think he can get there, and I think he will. Like, I think he will be on down the road. I think that they are going to try and turn him into that where he can be, and he'll never be an elite pass rusher. Like, he's just not going to be. He's too
well,
big.
But that's concerning.
I mean, it's not. He's a nose tackle. Well, saying, he's no, a
I'm
nose
saying,
guard.
Right, like, but I'm saying to me, like, because...
Yeah, I'm saying I'm good with that. Like,
right.
If he's going to be an elite nose guard, if he's going to be someone who is literally takes over the middle of the field like that and can first and second down monster, I don't need him to be an elite third down guy. Like,
but don't you think you can
guard.
Find not, those guys?
No,
you can't find humans like Jordan Davis.
We can only name
but...
a few in the history of football who are super impactful players. Like, when you get those huge guys who are that dominant in the middle, like...
So you're saying you can only name a few that were super impactful pass rushers or just super impactful nose
I'm
tackles?
I'm saying guys, nose tackles were impactful, like, that big, that there are, like, almost none who are, like, super impactful pass rushers.
You know, so that's... That,
but that, they were super valuable players, is
they
my
were valuable
point.
Players. I just think, like, he...
I think they change what you do on defense. And that's, again, partially influenced by everything you know, read
right.
And the way that people are going to use them all. But in terms of, especially if they want to run more 3-4, which it's clear from this offseason they're definitely going to, like, having that guy in the middle makes a massive difference, even if he never gets to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point of that position. So I get your point. I would prefer he's a pass rusher, but I think that the grandiose statement of, like, he has to be on there, I don't think he does to be an incredibly important player for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think Jordan Davis is definitely going to have a long, successful NFL career. Like, barring there being, like, you know, personal things I don't know about.
I think he'd be absolutely worth the 13th pick in the draft while never becoming a great pass rusher. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just don't agree. So,
I mean, factually, I'm right. Like, whether you agree or not, like, I'm factually right.
Well, but so...
Again, I will say Vince Wilfork.
No, I know,
was he worth the 12th pick in the draft? Yes, he was.
Correct, but I also think we'd have to go back and look at, like, all the nose tackles taken... You know, all the, like, the guys like Jordan Davis in the top 15. Because you're right, there are examples, but Vince Wilfork was drafted when? Like,
I think he was the 12th pick in the draft.
No, I'm saying, like, what year?
Years ago. Yeah.
But so I'm saying, like, there are exceptions to every rule. Like, you can point to every...
Well, I think that's the whole point of Jordan Davis, right? He's the exception to everything.
He's exception to that rule physically. Yeah,
sport.
For sure.
Yeah, but,
for
like,
sure.
I mean, Vita Vea.
Vita Vea. But, like, so, and I'm willing to say, hands up, like, maybe I undervalue Vita Vea. But to me, I don't view Vita Vea as, like, worthy of a top 13 pick.
Vita Vea is absolutely worth the top
13.
Are
you
out of your mind?
Right. I just think, ultimately, you are
totally
right that Jordan
that.
Davis, I think Jordan Davis is good. When I watch these two games, he will have a successful NFL career because he's so big and he takes up so
Vita
much
Davis
space. Right?
Vita Vea has 11.5 sacks in 4 seasons.
Right.
That's less than 3 a season.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's the type of player Jordan Davis is going to be.
And I'm just...
And I think that's incredibly valuable.
Yep, and I can only give my opinion on this. And my opinion is I would be disappointed. Well, there's some context that can be had. But, like, Vita Vea probably plays on third downs.
And
I would have
again,
to go look.
Again, I think that Jordan... But the point with... I think you'll get on the field in third downs.
Yeah.
That's your one concern. But the point is, him being on third in the field on third downs, he doesn't actually always have to get to the quarterback or even... often get to the quarterback to still be a valuable person on the field on third down. If he's taking up two blockers in any situation, that's a win. Like, whether it's first, second, or third down, if he can take up the center and the guard, if he can take those guys and they have to focus on Jordan Davis.
I agree with this.
That
yeah.
is a win for the defense in any situation.
100%. And when I watched him against Alabama and Michigan, there were lots of times they did double team him. Like, there was a play early on against Alabama where he got single coverage, and he basically blew right by the guy and pretty much sacked Bryce Young. Bryce Young was able to throw it on the last second, but it was pretty much a sack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually ruled a fumble initially, and N'Kobe Dean picked it up and ran it back for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles fans want to go watch, you know. So. But, like, I'm not saying he does not have it in him to do it. I'm just saying, for me, he has to be get to a point. And you're right too. Like, if he gets double teamed, that is impactful. But for him to be double teamed, he has to show he can consistently beat single coverage. And he has to do that to get the double teamed, and he has to do it on third down. Like, we can get into the debate about how important each down is, and you're right. Like, if you're in a third and long because Jordan Davis did two tackles for losses on the first two downs, like, yeah, then that's incredibly impactful for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see a lot of that against Michigan and Alabama. And I'm not like Mr. X's and O's. Like, I get that. I'm not, you know. But when I watch those two games, like, he did not stick out to me outside maybe two or three snaps. So I just.
God, you're such a Jordan Davis hater.
I'm just being honest.
It's
like,
a great pick. The further we get away from it, the more I like it.
Well, what's funny is I went like.
I wanted him anyway. Like, I said going in, I was happy with him and all that. But like, the more we get away from it, the more I read, the more I look into it, the more I watch. Like, I'm all in on the pick. I love the pick.
So leading up to the draft, I didn't want it.
Yep.
I understood it. After it, I liked it better, if you remember. I said I like it better after the AJ mm-hmm. Brown trade. And I get it. Like, I think smart teams make that pick.
Mm-hmm.
You bet on big, super talented defensive linemen.
Athletic,
like you do,
guys.
For sure.
Yep. Yep.
But Howie acknowledged that third down is a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my concern. And it sounds like it was his concern as well. And they are projecting he'll be able to do it. Their evaluation is he will be.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And I think he has the potential too, just because of what an athlete he is. But like, when you look at other players in the draft, and this is an extreme example, but like, Jameson Williams showed you in college what he will be, like what you want him to be successful at in the NFL, right? Like, Aiden Hutchinson, like these guys, like you don't know if it'll translate, but you saw them do in college what you want them to do at the pros. I don't think you saw Jordan Davis do in college what the Eagles need or want him to do in the pros.
I don't think he was asked to do it.
Correct. I'm not blaming him for it, but I'm saying I think it's a harder evaluation when you're saying, like, can this guy do something we're not seeing him do on tape? That's my basic mm-hmm. concern.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned. Again, he's also, again, a freak athlete.
Yeah.
And now he's going to have real NFL coaching and all that stuff. Like, I think people are freaking out. And
but for what it's worth, and I think with defensive tackle, it's a little different because just being so big is a massive skill. But there have been tons of freak athletes that are, like, the best athlete in the draft.
But it's rare that the best athlete in the draft is a 340-pound
correct,
dude.
Correct, yeah.
Like, but 6'6", 340
just
pounds.
Being a great athlete doesn't
never
mean.
Happens.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't, but I do think that the context matters here, that we're talking about his ability to be explosive
yep.
and to get to the quarterback. Like, being a great athlete is going to help
and he does,
in that situation.
It did stick out to me, like, he's a hustle player. He ran to the sidelines a lot. He
love
followed
it.
The ball a lot. I think he has really quick feet. Obviously, it showed up in the 40, but, like,
yes.
just in terms of...
There's tape Elliott. Film Elliott.
Yeah, look at
I
me,
love
right?
this.
Like, even just, like, his feet reminded me of Fletcher Cox in the way,
whoa!
Like, how, like, he's able to, like, move quickly in small spaces and stuff. I know maybe I'm overreacting, but, like, it's just so crazy to me that in the biggest game of the year, in a game that was close the majority
Elliott,
of the time, he did not play
Elliott,
on third downs.
Elliott.
And so to your point...
Elliott, let me just say something.
Let me say one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I understand that there were guys on the field that are going to be high picks, and that's a good reason. But Jordan Davis was the 13th pick in the draft, so let's not act like he, you know, like, fell to the second. Like, he was, like, you know...
Well, he wouldn't have. He's too good a player. He was going in that range no matter what.
So the Eagles got what? Like, the fifth best defensive lineman on Georgia?
I mean, I think there's an argument to make they got the best defensive lineman on Georgia. I think there's a lot of... I mean, they got the second one drafted, all right? Like,
right.
So they got the second, according to the NFL, the second best, if you want to do it that way. But, I mean, I'm not a huge Trayvon Walker.
I
would have taken
either.
Hutchinson first. Walker was a defensive tackle, had to move the defensive end because they had Wyatt and Davis. And they were like, oh, you got to play defensive end. Like, I think he's got all the talent, like, all the physical abilities in the world, too. But I feel more confident that Jordan Davis won't be a bust than I do that Trayvon Walker.
I do not. I agree with that. I think there is a very, very, unless his weight becomes a thing, and that's
I
can't
issue.
Speak to that.
I agree
but
with
like,
you.
If he stays in shape, he will make a lot of money and have a really good career. Like, I think he can be a Pro Bowl talent as he is now. But for him to be like, and I
guess
this is what everyone wants.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to do things he didn't show in college. Right. And that would be my concern.
Let me just, I've been trying to tell you for a long time, right? Just. Trust Howie, okay?
Yeah, it's true. It's what you say
I
all
mean,
the time.
Come on.
All
right. This combo went way longer than I expected. You've got to go in the air soon. So.
Well, the good news is I don't have much to say about the late round picks.
Good.
It seems
well,
like you don't either.
I don't either. So quickly, day three, you and I kind of disagree. I couldn't care less about day three. Like, I think that it was an A-plus after day two for me. They drafted N'Kobe Dean. I was set. I was happy. But as far as it goes, like, I kind of like the Kansas guy. He looks all right. He's athletic. At least they took an athletic guy there. The Calcaterra pick doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but at the same time, you know, they're always trying to add at that position, and, you know, whatever. It's fine. I think it tells us maybe Tyree Jackson, not as much of a superstar as everyone thought.
Well, it hurt all the time.
Yeah. Would I've rather seen them take a safety in a corner? Sure. Do I know that there were guys on the board who were worth that? No. Seems like they did a good job in those departments in the UDFA guys.
Right. So also, it was funny. The camera said, "You like what a football term." It's like,
I was saying
UDFA
was like,
is pretty common knowledge.
That's what I felt like. Yeah. I said UDFA is like, dude, what's that? I was like, dude, like that's like standard.
Yeah.
I'm not like some crazy guy.
Pretty common term.
Thank you.
I think people say that a lot more than undrafted free agent.
That's what I thought too. Okay. So your thoughts on day three of the draft? Because you didn't like it that much.
Yeah. I just like. So Kyron Johnson, he's 23 already, and he is a great athlete, but like he's kind of a tweener. Now I think
he's definitely a tweener.
He's definitely a tweener, yeah. Right? Now if they're gonna play 3-4, like he does project as like a stand up edge rusher.
He's like a Reddick-ish guy, like a low
correct,
but
like that
idea.
Like a better Jannard Avery.
Yeah.
My thing with him is just the age. It's like. And I get you draft special qualities late. Like, you know, Jordan Mailata was drafted because he's just like a freak athlete, right? Like, so I get that, and he could be that. And I think he'll make the roster next year as a special teams player unless he's a complete disaster in camp. So, like, I just don't like that they drafted a really old player late in the rounds. Like, you would think that's somebody that you expect to contribute right away. And with his, like, skill set and his body type, I'm not sure he'll be much more than just a special teams guy, which holds value.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he's definitely going to be a special teams guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was apparently very good on special teams, and he has physical abilities and stuff. I think special teams alone, he'll have some value for the team, which is 6th-round pick. You know, that's fine.
Right.
I get your point. You want to draft someone where you could see them like being a.
Or he's young and you can develop him because a 6th-round pick's not playing right
away. 21-23 is that big a difference? Like, it does matter over the course of a career, but in terms of like what you want from the guy, like if he gives you 4 good years and he's heading into athletic prime, you feel great about it.
Yeah. So, and then the tight end out of SMU, like.
Yeah. I will say, drafting a guy who had to retire in college. Because of concussions.
And
don't love it.
I also think it's important, like, I'm hesitant to, well, we did talk to him. I've read things, like, concussions are a serious issue. So
yes.
If he felt the need to retire, I obviously respect that decision.
No, I'm not ripping it. My point is, like, that's
just,
like.
But it also seemed like he retired just because, like, he had other interests. Like,
I didn't know that.
It seemed like he was, like, now, it could have been because of football, but he also, like, went down a career path that he was into, and then he came back to football because he missed it. But when I watched the highlights of him, and keep in mind, these are like the highlights, He did not look super athletic to me. He looked very much just like an 8 or 9 yard and catch it type type of tight end. He had not great numbers at Oklahoma. I know that he was viewed as a top prospect coming out of high school. He was, I think he was named best tight end in the when he was with Oklahoma 1 year. But I don't know, like, I get taking chances on guys, and I guess you can make the argument for him that he was once a really high recruit. So, you know, if he continues to stay, if he continues to play and he doesn't get concussions, I think he's drafted higher. So
we did talk about that last time, Matt. We do like those guys, taking a shot on the guys who maybe weren't quite, didn't live up to college what they were thought of as a prospect coming out of high school and stuff like that.
But the concussion thing is very worrisome.
It's worrisome. That was my bit. It's like, that's scary.
But it's also 7th-round pick, so like the chances of them making the roster in general are
zero. Are low to begin with. Agree. What about the UDFA guys or the undrafted free agent guys? What did you think? Because it did seem like, as far as it goes, the Eagles lauded for that group. And for what
and
it's worth.
And they spent a lot of money.
Look, every year, those guys matter. I mean, 2/4 of the Philly special.
Yes.
We're UDFA guys.
Well, it's
interesting. Burton and Clement. So like there are always guys who contribute as UDFA
the
guys.
The 4 guys in the Philly special. Jason Kelsey, 6th-round.
Yeah,
Trey Burton, undrafted.
3rd, yeah.
Yeah, right. So not a lot of, you know, premier.
Not high end. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But like two of those guys were UDFA guys. Like UDFAs will matter.
And I think that the money they spent in the UDFA class, like I know they didn't have late round picks, so it kind of evens out. But to me, it's just another example of like the Eagles are willing to spend.
Uh-huh.
Like they're out there bidding against teams, outbidding for guys.
Yeah, well, we're talking about like they bid $200,000.
But I'm just saying like we cover a team and follow a team where we've never had to say they are being cheap.
No,
and I think there's a lot of teams
out
there.
No, that's a great, I totally with that. But
right.
I do think that to your initial point, I think part of that is because they trade.
They don't have the salaries in the 5th and 6th
round.
Yeah.
But I agree, look, a credit to them. That's an opportunity where all it comes down to is paying more, and they do that. I love that. I wish my team always did, any of my teams.
Like,
if it just comes down to money, spend the money, and Jeffrey's always spending the money. So credit.
So I really like the cornerback out of Clemson. A lot of people think he was better than Andrew Booth last year. Clearly, Booth a better prospect, drafted way higher. But I think that he's a guy that could come in and, like, seriously compete for that number two cornerback job. The cornerback out of Alabama, some people think maybe he could
Josh Jobe.
Some people think he could play safety. So there's some position versatility there. Carson Strong.
Hey-o.
I mean, if they draft Carson Strong in, like, the fifth round, I think there's a lot more of, like, oh, look at this. And,
yeah.
But I just think his knees are so bad.
He didn't get drafted. It's clear. Like, he is definitely physically good enough, like, as a quarterback to have gotten drafted. The knees are a serious.
Apparently not.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying because, yeah.
I'm saying he's talented enough where he's worth a seventh round pick for some team. It's just the knees. It's clear.
Although I read some articles that said he didn't interview well for
what
it's worth.
That's possible, which matters at that position.
Yeah.
For another.
Especially at that position.
Yeah.
So I think he's someone that, like, he's a guy that I think, like, as opposed to other UDFAs, you could look at and say, there's a chance he's special. Like, he has a strong arm. He was viewed as a top prospect. If his knees hold up, like, he could be a good value signing. Or, honestly, they could, like, cut him before training camp.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I wouldn't
me.
Be shocked.
It could go one or the other way. But I think in terms of just spending money, like,
as a third quarterback, why not?
Now, I think they guaranteed him $320, if that's the case.
I don't know what it was, but either way, why not?
Yeah. So I think, like, he's a practice squad guy.
Yeah,
because
they didn't usually carry three. I think he's probably the number three who gets deactivated on game day.
Right. Well, the Reed Sinek guy, they kind of like, for what it's worth.
The what's his name?
Reed Sinek.
Oh, Reed Sinek. I thought you said something else. I was so confused. I was like, what?
Well, I accidentally called, what was the punter's name last year?
Arian
Sippos. Yeah, I accidentally last year tweeted that he was the third string quarterback.
Yeah,
Reed Sinek is the third string quarterback.
But, like, yeah. You know, I don't think that's anything.
Well,
they might, like, you're right.
Reed Sinek, like, is
Carson
athletic.
Carson Strong has to beat him out.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't think it's, like, a lock that Carson Strong is
I think it's between those
guy.
Two guys for sure. That's
and
fair.
Then I think if they really like what they see out either from him, it
maybe
makes
they can trade
Minshew.
Yeah. All right. I like it. You got to go on the radio?
Yeah, I do have one quick final thought.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Anything else before the final thought?
No.
Okay.
Done football.
Go ahead.
So,
I'm done.
Me and Kristen ordered a new bed frame.
Okay.
First of all, whenever Kristen says bed, like, she calls the bed spring, and the mattress. When I think of bed, I think about, like, the
whole thing. Yeah,
yes.
I generally think of the whole
thing. So there's been a lot of times over the last few days where she's been, like, the bed. And
yeah, I think of the whole thing when I think of the bed.
Correct.
Okay.
So
she's just talking about the mattress?
When she says bed, she means the bed frame.
That's weird.
And she calls the mattress.
Okay.
Whereas
I think
of the bed as the mattress.
I agree. The whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a new bed frame for our bed. And it's coming. So we took apart our old bed frame. And our mattress is currently on the floor, right? I think that's the best way to have a mattress. I don't like bed frames anymore. It's so nice. Like, it doesn't squeak or move. Like, you just lay down on it. You don't have to worry about anything. Why do we have to be so high up? Like, it's comfortable. Kingsley can jump right up. Like, I think it looks good aesthetically for what it's worth. I am all in on just the bed on the floor. And her thing is like, well, it's,
aesthetically, it is worse. Like, you
don't know. I think it's kind of calming. It almost looks like yoga is not the right word, but like
yoga
it's kind
mat.
Of like zenny. Like, so when she first met me, I had an apartment in Brewery Town, and my bed was on the floor. I did not have a bed frame, and I think maybe that's why I like it. Like, it's, you know, it's when we first met, but I think it's a superior way to do things.
I don't care. Like, right. I'm trying to think of, like, a take on this or how I feel.
I think if Emily got rid of the...
Really don't care.
Yeah, I think if she got rid of the bed frame...
We've gone without it. We've switched before.
Yeah.
I get the purpose of the bed frame. Like, I'm fine with the bed frame. I'm fine when it's not there. I really don't care when we're there.
Well, that's my take.
Yeah. Okay. There's someone out there listening who's like, no!
I know.
Elliot, you maniac! Yeah, I don't care. We've had it on the floor, and I've often thought, like, what's the difference? Like,
exactly.
I think it's
more
what's
comfortable.
The difference in this case,
more though. Comfortable.
I don't think it's more comfortable. I think that's probably in your head.
I find it
soothing. It's probably the exact same.
I also really like laying. I also think air mattresses.
Soothing. I find it
soothing. I think air mattresses are really comfortable.
I hate air.
Like, I love.
We have diverged.
There's been times we've put the air mattress up in front of the TV in the living room and slept there at night, and I think it's like the funnest thing in the world.
I like the idea of sleeping in front of the TV doing that. Like, that's like a sleepover type
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
That's fun. But like air mattress itself, not a fan.
All right.
They're
fine. We have a great
air
mattress.
Okay. See, they're okay.
Yeah.
You get two people on them, it's not great.
Well, we have a queen size air mattress.
Oh, look at you big time.
Maybe you should spend a little. You know?
This conversation really devolved.
Yes.
All right. Go do the radio.
I will. I'll go home to my
Get out of here.
Bed on the floor.
Stick to football. Oh, wait.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. Parks Picks by later in the week at Parks on Saturdays. I'm James.